All right, everybody, hang in there. Make sure you have you fasten your seatbelts, put your headphones on, I was gonna say don't do this at home, but this is exactly what you should be doing at home. Remember to breathe. This one is called "Take a Sound Bath of Energies." Enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. This is the captain. At the end of the show, we have a really cool announcement for you. And I'll tell you more about it as we do the show. So remember, wear your headphones. Very important. And I will explain to you why. It's a big difference listening to it through a headphone than through the speakers. Don't do this while driving. And so, sit back and relax. Thank you. This one's called Angel's Voice.
Thank you.
This one is called Interactive.
Thank you.
Okay, so that one's called Interactive. It uses a variety of sublingual frequencies. Excuse me, but by that I mean that you don't entirely hear it consciously, right? It's done under the surface, but your body and other parts of your other organs of your body do. So this one here is called Wandering Thoughts. And all of these are against a variety of sublingual frequencies in them. Some are obvious, right? You will know that you can hear the frequencies. Most of the time, I prefer to have them, have you listen to it, but you don't know you're listening to it. I know, I'm sorry. This one's called Wandering Thoughts.
Thank you. Vortex Dome LA, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, immersive media specialist, Michael Dowd.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guests, shamanic sound healers, Anne Marie Soul and Evan Furman. I am Mark Lejeune, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Talk about change. One of the things I like about this show is that I get to experience so many cool things. Like, actually, yesterday and today, I've been talking with our guest about some things that I haven't thought about actually since I was a kid. And then our musical guest asked me if I had ever been didged. And then I was didged. And so now I have been didged. And we'll talk about what that is a little later in the show. One of the things that I haven't thought about since I was a kid, and I don't know if any of us have ever really thought about, is how important story really is in our lives. I know growing up, one of my favorite things was when my dad would tell us a story or when my mom would read us a story. And I remember listening to adults and knowing when if a certain adult told a story, it was going to be a good story. And if another adult told a story, it might not be so good. And another one, it was all going to be lies. But and another one, it was lies, but it was good lies. It's like, this is so much fun. That never happened, though, right? That never happened. But we loved hearing them. So I guess it's not lies. It was kind of telling, you know, it was making up a story. So story was so important as kids. And then we grew up, and then all of a sudden, we didn't think about stories that much, except, you know, we're watching the news. We're listening to somebody's story and all that. And story is so much more important. Knowing how to tell one nowadays is so much more important in a time when we can flip through, I don't know, 100 videos in a minute and saying, yeah, I don't want to watch that one, I don't watch. And we make a decision so quickly that when someone starts a story in our head, we've probably made a decision whether we're going to want to listen to that story or not. So being able to tell a story, I think, should be taught in school when we're kids. It's like, we have a story to tell. Let's figure out how to tell it. And our guest today has figured out some amazing ways to tell stories that can only be told in this way in the whole of history as we know it, in the way that can be told now with the technology that's available. So the time is ripe for some very fascinating storytelling, as well as a responsibility to being able to tell the story right and taking care of the audience that is experiencing the story. We're going to talk about all that with our guest, Michael Dowt, when we come back. And a little later on, we're going to have some shamanic sound journey conversations with our musical guest, Anne-Marie Soule and Evan Perman, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and this is the Life Changes Show. I'm sitting here with Mark Lejeune. And Mark, you're a good storyteller. And you've been so busy lately, we haven't gotten some great stories out of you. Can't wait to hear them again.
No, we will. We'll have lots of storytelling time. But, you know, listening to you, you know, talk about storytelling made me reflect. And boy, I think now looking back that some of the most successful stories that I told my parents, usually to get out of hot water, were probably the most immersive.
Oh,
so I'm really interested to hear what Michael has to say tonight.
Speaking of immersive,
right,
we're in the Vortex Dome where immersive experiences happen. And actually, our guest knows all about that and much more, actually. Let's see how much we can get out of him, because he's an immersive media specialist. And he's working as an independent, I should also say, award-winning independent writer, producer, and director for Full Dome Experiences, videos, theatrical production, music videos, live concert videos, commercials, documentaries, corporate videos, and trade show presentations. Maybe we should add, and the Life Changes Show. Here is Michael Dowt. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Filippo. When I heard your intro, I was really fascinated to see who your guest was going to be, and then I realized it was me, and I don't think I can live up to that, but thanks anyway.
Oh, you can, actually, because you got the conversation going. You inspired me by saying storytelling is so important, and nowadays we have a way of telling it like we've never been able to tell it before.
That's really true. I mean, the dome medium is so powerful because the image surrounds you on all sides, and it takes over that visual landscape in a way that no other media does. And to kind of go back to some of my aesthetics training in college, it's like a film experience is something you're looking at. It's out in front of you, and it's contained mm-hmm. in a frame.
Mm-hmm. Which is great.
It is great. It's I love movies. It's one of my introductions to this whole wonderful world of creativity.
Yes, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Absolutely. And then in the dome, though, you've got this canvas that surrounds you on all sides, and you're inside of it.
Yeah.
And you're looking into it, and you're experiencing it in a different way, and there's a different resonance and a different connection, and it's almost rewriting the rules of how to tell stories.
Mm-hmm. You're on the forefront of this. This is very exciting. Now, something else that was on the forefront that inspired you when you were a kid, we talked a little bit about, share with the audience.
So when I was a kid, I loved the escape to movies. And I think one of the first movies I ever went to was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And this is before home video. This is before stuff came on television right away. And you had 100 channels to choose from. You had like 4 channels.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I wore my parents out by going to that film 5 or 6 times. I memorized most of the dialogue, and it was just this incredible world that was crafted, and it felt like it was just for me, where I was, I wanted to go there. I felt like it was really real, and like I told you, I think I believed in Willy Wonka more than I believed in the Easter Bunny. But there was this incredible world that was created, and I knew at that moment that somehow, some way, I wanted to be a filmmaker to be able to create those kind of experiences for other people.
I'm trying to picture, what was the moment? Like, was there a moment like when the kids walked into that room and everything stopped?
Yeah.
And this whole world opened up.
Absolutely. There was that part of it, and there was also the connection of this kid who was looking for something better in life, and this opportunity was presented to him, and the whole concept of finding the golden ticket. And there was just something magical and something resonant with me about all of those themes. And then, like, you're right, when that door opened to the chocolate room, it was this amazing fantasy world.
Come with me.
There it is. Yeah. It was amazing.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, well, you and I both ended up seeing Mesmerica right here at Vortex Dome LA.
That's right.
Yesterday. And that's kind of that experience. Like, we were all just looking up, at least I was, with amazement. Like, wow, this is possible.
Right.
The colors and the sounds. And, you know, kudos to James Hood and
absolutely.
Kate McCallum and Ed Lance producing and all that. But that's what you're doing.
Right, absolutely. What's amazing about the dome as well is there's that saying that says a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, I think a full dome picture is worth 10,000 words because there's so much that's happening. And there were very few words in the Mesmerica show.
Right.
And those of you who haven't been, you should come check out the Mesmerica show. It's, I think, on Sundays right now.
Agreed. Actually, it's going to be all over the States.
That's true. It's in 8 different locations right now, and it's opening up more locations in June, and it's becoming quite a phenomenon. And these are sold-out performances that are happening. But to get back to that, the experience of the language of immersion is so powerful because you're allowing, if you're willing, that canvas to take over your senses for an hour in the case of a Mesmerica, or 20 minutes of a shorter show, or even longer. And you're in that space where these things are happening around you, and you're experiencing beauty, you're experiencing truth, you're experiencing
yourself.
Yeah.
And the group.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is different than just putting on VR, as cool as that is.
That's right.
That's another thing about being in the dome experience.
That's exactly right.
Or a full dome experience, as you would say.
Right, because VR has gotten a lot of press and a lot of attention, and unfortunately, as much as I like things that it can do, it's kind of in that trough of disappointment right now because the buildup and the hype were so big about what VR could do, but what we forgot about is that it's so isolating.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, it's very difficult for an audience to get through an experience. Mm-hmm. Like if you think of a themed entertainment experience at like a Disneyland or a Knott's Berry Farm or whatever, there's stats on that where you need to move the audience through about 2,000 people an hour to have it be a successful attraction. Mm-hmm. That's not really possible with VR unless you have, you know, hundreds or thousands of headsets, and then things can break, and then there's cleanliness issues where you're transferring it from one person to another. You have to make sure they're
clean. Oh, nice.
Clean.
Thank you for that.
All this stuff. Seriously, there's a lot involved in that process. And then you're alone.
Mm.
And in the dome, you have an immersive experience, which is like VR, but it's like VR theater is a way of thinking it.
Mm.
Because you are with other people having a shared experience in an immersive space.
Yeah, we like to call it community VR.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
And VR becomes home theater.
Right? Ah. Interesting.
That
I like
good.
That community VR. And I was there by myself, actually. I wasn't going to be, but I ended up being. And it's interesting, and I didn't know you. But it's interesting that there were moments where I wanted to turn to somebody and say, wow, did you see that? Because at some time, there were some shooting stars. I mean, it's like normally if you're out watching the stars, you're like, wow, did you see that? Or if you're out watching fireworks, right?
Right.
Wow, did you see that? So definitely wanted that experience with other people.
Absolutely. And that makes a big difference because when you go out to an experience or a night out or whatever, you're with other people generally, and you want to have a shared experience. And I think that's what this type of immersion can afford. Also, cinema is on kind of a downturn in terms of box office overall, because people will go to see tentpole features, but not necessarily the smaller features. They're seeing things on Netflix, and I think this was one of the first years that a feature film got a lot of Academy Award acclaim that was released directly to Netflix as opposed to the theater. So things in that model are changing.
Right.
There's less reason for people to go out of their home, and this dome, this giant dome experience, is something that you can't get in your home. Well, my wife would never let me put a dome in my house. I know that. So,